following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 6 of the Pulse Gamecast. I am your host, Greydahl. Tonight's a little bit of a deviation from the norm in that Jason will not be joining me due to some technical difficulties he has at home. He had a big ol' honkin' power surge that blew into his house, took out most of his electronics, including his at-home PC and his modem. So, it'll be the Greydahl show tonight. So we'll just keep on going like we always do. This week in gaming, I have been focusing on SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic. I've, of course, been playing my standard PvE tunes, player versus environment tunes. I've also been delving into Galactic Starfighter a little bit. This is the new off-the-rails 12v12 space-based PvP that SWTOR has recently implemented. Currently, it is only available to subscribers, and we've talked about this on another show. Preferred players, people who have bought at least $5 worth of cartel coins in SWTOR, you guys will have access January 3rd, I believe it is, and then free-to-players, you guys have to wait till the middle of February. It's fun, it's great, it's definitely different, and there again, we've talked about this, but you have to think in three dimensions. Of course, all PvP that most of us are used to are just our avatars running across the battlefield, jumping from room to room. You don't really have to think about what's going on above you or what's going on below you. So it involves a whole different mindset, but there are a lot of neat tools as far as targeting the opponents, the person who last hit you, the person who's in your under your reticle, your aiming reticle, the closest person to you. So that helps a little bit, but I believe Jason will be with us next week, and we'll definitely delve into Galactic Starfighter a little more. He's actually hit it a lot harder than I have, so we'll cover it then. Also this week, I've been playing The Witcher 2. I mentioned this on episode 5 last week. Haven't got too much further into it than what I originally had because I've been playing so much SWTOR. There again, that's the game produced by the British company that is definitely not safe for work. And if your significant other doesn't like you looking at the female form, it is not safe for home. But it is fun. It's awesome. I highly recommend it. Also, I don't know why I did this, but I did. I bought Mass Effect 3 for my PC. Now, I've played it on the PlayStation 3, but EA / the Origin Store had a deal going on, I guess, this past weekend, maybe a carryover from Cyber Monday, where the N7 Collector's Edition online version was only $15, so I bought it. I also bought From the Ashes DLC, and this isn't a spoiler, so calm down. This is the DLC that gives you the Prothean companion, Javik. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. I've also bought a couple weapons packs that give you some of those N7 weapons. I bought the ones that give you the assault rifle, the sniper, the pistol, the submachine gun. I didn't pick up the any of the online, even though they're free, any of the multiplayer expansions. I never got into the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I did play a couple rounds. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But I've got other preferences for online multiplayer. But as far as that goes, I haven't bought yet Citadel or Omega, the DLCs, Omega and Citadel. And some of you I've talked to in person, friends, or people in our chat rooms, various games. The Citadel, in my opinion, is one of the best DLCs for any game that I've ever played. and I will stand by that. No matter what you think about Mass Effect 3 and its controversial ending, its gameplay, the Citadel was an incredible DLC. And as far as I know, it's still $15 for the collector's version on the Origins store. I think it might even be $15 on Amazon as well for the digital download. I recommend getting it, checking it out. Oh, also, for Mass Effect 3, they've included, or you can buy it, of course, but they have the Genesis No. 2 DLC. This is an interactive comic book done by Dark Horse that recaps the stories of Genesis 1, which is Mass Effect 1, and Mass Effect 2. So if you don't feel like going back and playing these games, you can watch the comic. And what it does is whenever you get to any major storyline plot deviation, it allows you to make that choice. Do you save this person? Do you kill this person? Do you go to this planet or do you go to that planet? And what it does, it represents the choices you made in those games because, as I'm sure you know, Mass Effect, the choices you make in one game carry over and affect the story of the next one. So Genesis 2 allows you to bring all your choices from Mass Effect 1 and 2 into 3. I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm a big BioWare fan, not an EA fan, but I am a BioWare fan. Mass Effect is one of my most favorite game franchises out there. I highly recommend picking it up. Let's get started on our news. This past week, Spike TV, I guess they used to be TV for Men, they had their VGX Awards, which was, as they put it, the next iteration of the Video Game Awards. As they said, they got away from the Hollywood Glitz and Glamour Awards show, I guess, where I don't even know what they meant, to be honest with you, but this was actually a day-long event. They had bands there, they had reveal videos, they had world premiere videos, and of course, the awards were given out. Some of these were voted on by us, the gamers, the viewers, the fans. Some of them were voted on by their panel of industry experts or whatever. I have a couple of these that I just want to touch on real quick. You can find a link to the VGX site in our show notes on holosuitemedia.com. Be sure to check that out. The best PC game, as voted by We the Gamers, was Gone Home. Now, I haven't played this. I know it's on Steam. This harkens back, and I'm kind of dating myself, I know. This harkens back to the mid-90s of those first-person adventure stories. If you know what I'm talking about, think of Seventh Guest, 11th Hour, Phantasmagoria, The Beast Within. Think that. That's what this harkens back to. The premise of the game is you've come home to visit your family. The house is empty. What do you do? What do you find out? Like I said, I haven't played it. I think it's on Steam, I believe it's only maybe $10. I'm thinking about checking this out. You know, I played so many of those adventure games that they've honestly gotten a little boring for me. But if gamers voted this as the best PC game of the year, it might be worth checking out. The best PlayStation game, and I pretty much agree with this, is The Last of Us. There again, no spoilers, kids, because it's been out for a while, and if you don't know anything about The Last of Us, you've been living under a rock. The Last of Us is a different take on the zombie apocalypse. It, instead of maybe a virus, per se, as we know zombies, this is more of a fungal infection. So there again, not a spoiler, you see it right off the bat in every trailer, but as I heard on the Indoor Kids podcast today, they said it seems to be a growing trend in video games and a water level mark of video games if the game can make you cry. And I know that sounds weird, but because they were saying that to say that video games have, you know, no longer are we just the little pixels running on screens. It is truly art. It is storytelling. Some of these games are just almost to the point where they're not even a game, they're an interactive movie. you know, i.e., oh, good grief, as I like to say on the show, Nerdfell, was it Black Rain, Dark Rain? I don't remember the name. But the Last of Us is one of those games that definitely brought out the man tier, the single man tier. And I haven't talked to anyone who has played this game that hasn't said the same thing. This was an incredible game. It was rated the best on the PlayStation. It was a PlayStation-only exclusive game. If you have a PS3, check this game out. And you know, now that the PS4 is out, the prices are dropping on the 3. I dare say it would be worth picking up a PS3 just to play The Last of Us. It is great. It is great. The best Xbox game. This is one I haven't really seen a lot of or followed up on, to be honest with you, but it's Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. I'll have a link in the show notes. We the Gamers rated this as the best Xbox game. The best handheld. No, I haven't played this yet. I've talked about it on the past 4 or 5 shows we've had. It's The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds. The continuation of Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, with the new power. You see it on the TV commercials where you go flat and are able to inch around walls and through cracks and things like that. And I don't know that it's a big shock. Game of the year, GTA 5. Yeah, Ghost 2 had a bigger initial 24-hour sell, but GTA 5 has probably sold more overall. And of course, I mean, a million units sold in, what was it, the first 24 hours, plus GTA 5, I believe, had around 285, maybe 300,000 in pre-order. I haven't played it. I actually haven't played any of the GTAs, and I've said this before on the shows, but there again, we the Gamers said GTA 5, Game of the Year. Head over to Spike to see the full list. They go into deep as best voice actor, you know, things like that. Also at the GTX, we had reveal videos. Some of these were, you know, you can't see my air quotes right now, but some of these were world premieres. Most of these were just gameplay premiere videos, as well as, I guess some of them were, yeah, here we go, here's what we do, here's who we are. But some of the ones that stuck out to me was, of course, South Park's The Stick of Truth. This video, if you're a South Park fan, then you'll love the video. If you're not a South Park fan, don't watch it. In this video, we have Cartman, who is the Wizard King, if you've watched the most recent trilogy of South Park. And we're a mature show, so that series was called Titties and Dragons. And it was based off of Game of Thrones. But in this episode, the Wizard King, Cartman, is teaching you, douchebag, the player, how to cup a spell. So the premise of the game, of course, is that you're a kid in South Park. You're dressed up in the fantasy garb. You're playing, I guess maybe you're playing Game of Thrones or some other fantasy setting in the world of South Park. And one of your ranged magical attacks is to cup a fart in your hand and throw it at your target. The video goes through just like you're watching a cartoon. It's not just, oh, cup and throw. It's like watching a little mini cartoon. It's funny. Check it out. We have The Witcher 3. We have gameplay footage that was revealed here at Spike VGX. This looks really cool. It's almost more of a teaser trailer, maybe around 25, 30 seconds. The graphics look incredible. They look great. Now, The Witcher 3 is going to be open world, and I believe I read somewhere that it's going to rival Skyrim with its size. But of course, you'll be a Witcher. And one of the final little videos that stuck out for me was Titanfall. And in this video, Hammond Robotics, it's done like an infomercial, like a presentation, a sales pitch. Hammond Robotics shows us the Ogre Titan. This is the one you see in the TV commercials where the guy's in like a boardroom meeting and the big mech drops down and its cockpit opens up and it taps the glass to get his attention. It's really neat. Let's see, one of the other things at the VGX Awards, and this is a really cool one that got me happy. Telltale Games, and I spoke about this on the last episode, the company that did Walking Dead series and also is doing A Wolf Among Us, it came out at the VGX Awards. They will be doing a Borderlands 2 game with an alternate storyline not involving the usual suspects from Borderlands 2. They will be doing Borderlands 2. They will also be doing, they will be doing a Game of Thrones story. Now that is going to be freaking awesome. Telltale Games doing Game of Thrones interactive story game. That will be sweet. I cannot wait. Let's move on to another little bit of news. Today, let's see, what is today's December 10th? I already said that. December 10th, Guild Wars 2, their Winter's Day event, which I guess is, it's kind of their Christmas, that has begun. So if you're a Guild Wars 2 player, check it out. If you're interested in playing Guild Wars 2, head to the website, see what you think. Guild Wars 2 is a buy-to-play game, so you'll only pay the, I think it's down to $30, maybe even $20 now. You'll buy it once, you'll log in, you'll have free gameplay for life. They do have an in-game currency store, much like SWTOR's cartel coin market, so that's how they make their money. You can buy upgrades and mounts and weapons and whatever in that. Beginning the 15th, World of Warcraft will begin their Feast of Winter Vale. In SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic, we don't have an exact date. It should be soon. The Rakghul Resurgence event is coming back to SWTOR. Let me say that again. The Rakghul Resurgence will be coming back to SWTOR. And so will the Life Day. Blah. So, head over to SWTOR or head over to Dolphy. She has a great guide on the little bit of info that they've already released about the Rakghul Resurgence. You'll be able to already preview some gear. I believe some of the planets that will be involved. And maybe even some of the quests. Let's see. Oh, today is December 10th, 2013. 20 years ago today, December 10th, 1993, a little tiny company called id Software released a game that, in my opinion, changed first-person shooters as we know them for life. You know it, boys and girls. What is it? It's Doom. This date, 20 years ago, Doom came out. And housewives and senators and whoever else went up in arms. Now, it's pretty tame by today's standards, of course, but you know, if you were too young to remember Doom or too young to play it, people went crazy when Doom came out. It was violent. It was bloody. It was gory. There were demons from hell. It was everything that people who hated video games was looking for. It championed the rally. It championed the cause. They hated it. 19-year-old Greydoll, he ate it up. Now, of course, and I had to run it on my 486, my 486 computer, had to load it off of about 6 or 7 3.5-inch floppy drive or floppy disk. But I can't even begin to tell you how many Friday nights and Saturday nights I spent playing Doom. This game was incredible. Different weapons, environmental effects on the game, you know, the demons running towards you and you shoot the oil drum, ba-boom, ba-boom, it blows up. Oh man, it was great. And I say Saturday and Friday nights because it was Doom. Who wants to play Doom in the middle of a bright sunny day? You have to be in a dark room, the lights out, and, you know, no sunlight, of course. It was an awesome game. It was an awesome game. 20 years of Doom. I'm sure, I know for a fact you can find this out on an emulator somewhere, or maybe even a current OS port. Like I said, if you're a gamer today, this game is going to seem tame by comparison, but for nostalgia's sake, check it out. Give it a go. Now, our next little thing I want to talk about is a game that that at first I kind of crapped on, to be honest with you. And that's WildStar Online. Now let me tell you why I crapped all over this game when I first saw it. In our current MMO market, I think that we as a gamer have gotten used to the concept of buy-to-play or free-to-play. So when a game comes out, right off the bat and tells you, yes, you're going to have to buy my game for $60 probably, you'll get a month's free gameplay, and then you're going to have to sub to it. Even though this free-to-play concept is fairly new, it's already ingrained in us that we, or at least me, we immediately reject the concept of a sub game. I have a group of friends here where I live, and we all said the same thing, five of us right off the bat. Oh, that looks great. What? You got a sub? Pfft, forget that. So I've kind of put it on the back burner and haven't really played or haven't paid much attention to it. Well, recently they've released a video, the devs have, and they call it Dev Speak, that's their videos, of the medic class. Now, WildStar Online is an action-based MMO. Now, what does that mean? Gone are the days of standing there, clicking your target, and just chaining your abilities. You know, button one, button two, button three, repeat. That's gone. This is an action MMO. You have to move. There is targeting, but you cannot stay still. You will die a horrible quick death in this game, just from the dev videos I've seen, if you stand still. You have to dodge, you have to run, you have to move. Depending on your class, your build, you have teleportations, you have swaps with you and the enemy, you have jetpacks to rocket you across the field. So it's getting a little different from what we're used to. They also said depending on the class and the weapon you're using, you will have to actually aim. You can't just auto target, click, and hit. If you are using a like one of the classes, the Spellslinger, which is kind of a two blaster pistol magic user, if you're blasting off with those pistols and your target moves out of the way, then they moved out of the way, and you're just going to stand there and shoot and not hit anything. So, in my opinion, that kind of livens things up, and I like that. I do like that. It keeps you on your toes, that it doesn't allow you to sit there and get bored and just target, click, target, click. That's, you know, that's kind of a downside of some of the older MMOs for me. Also, in the game, they refer to them as telegraphs. Now, what this is a very lightly shaded area that your abilities will affect, so you get to see that. Yeah, we all have our MMOs or our games we play where we just hit the button and a cone of fire comes out, or we throw a wave of shurikens. Well, in this, in WildStar Online, you'll actually see the little shaded area on the ground that gets affected. This includes the medic, who is a DPS slash healer. You'll be able to see that AOE, that area of effect heal you're about to pop, you'll be able to see where that actually goes, so you can maximize your party members within that area of effect. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I like that. We've all played, I'm sure, some aim action-based games before where you just kind of have to angle your avatar and just pop off the ability and hope you get who you were aiming for, whether it be party member or mob. I kind of like this in WildStar. Now, this goes both ways. The mob you're fighting also has telegraphs. So when he's prepping up for that big old slam attack that's going to send a shockwave your way, you'll see the area on the ground. If you have a dodge available or some, like I said, jetpack, teleportation, you'll be able to get out of the way. So you will actually see where those abilities will land. You'll be able to dodge. As we all know it, you will be able to not stand in the fire. Get out of the fire. Pretty cool stuff. I kind of like it. Like I said, I kind of crapped all over the game because of the fact they're going to be sub-based. I read today, and if you've been following WildStar, this is old hat for you, but they will have two methods of subscription pay. You will be able to pay your monthly sub as normal with a credit card. I pretty much can guarantee you that. Probably $15 a month, the standard MMO subscription. You'll also be able to buy CRED, C-R-E-D-D. It's an acronym. I don't remember what it stands for. But this, think back to EVE Online with the Plex. What that means, for those of you who don't know that, is you will be able to spend in-game currency, the gold, the coins, the credits, whatever they call it, that you earn from trade skilling, from adventuring, to buy this cred. You can turn in that cred for 30 days of gameplay. That's cool. One of our Holosuite Media staffers, Dion Soul, from, for those of you on the old Beyond the Veil, and I think he may even have been on the Shaven Wookie, you know Dion. He had this huge thing, this huge presentation he gave me once. That's how he played for EVE Online. Now, as he said, in EVE, he had to go out there and mine asteroids. I think he said something along the lines of 2.5 weeks of gameplay to pay for that month subscription. But if you don't want to spend real-world money on your subscription cost, this is an option for you. I mean, especially if you know you're going to be hitting this game hard, and especially if you're going to be hitting this game solo, like your only MMO, hey, I mean, you could potentially, for all intents and purposes, have this game as a almost free-to-play for life if you spend the time accumulating the money and buying the Plex. Now, it also said that you'll be able to buy the Plex, or I'm sorry, the Plex, the cred. You'll also be able to buy the cred from their in-game or their in-game market, i.e., with real money, and transfer it to your character. I am assuming. Now, you would say, why would you do that? Why not just pay for a month subscription? What I'm hoping they allow you to do, and it sounds like it, is you will be able to put that cred on their in-game auction house, their in-game player-based market. Another player can buy it, you know, for less, maybe, I guess maybe less than what it would cost to buy it with actual in-game currency. So let's say it costs 300,000 gold to buy it, but it's only maybe, I don't even know, whatever, $15, $10 a month to buy. I don't know. We'll have to work it out. But anyways, you'll be able to sell that in-game, make a ton of in-game currency, and the person gets a month's free. And if you have the extra cash, well, there you go. Like I said, that's a cool thing. I'm sure it'll probably take a lot of in-game time to earn that much gold in-game currency to buy the cred. But hey, if you're spending that much time in there, rack up the money, earn some extra. It's a pretty cool concept. I like it. Finally, we're going to move on to geeky stuff, where we talk about RPGs, tabletop, board games, anything that kind of gets us out from in front of the computer, from behind the Xbox, the PlayStation, sends us back down on the dining room table, and brings us face to face. Now, I just realized what I said, because that is what I have for geeky stuff today. There's a comic book that I have been collecting religiously since 1999, and it's called Knights of the Dinner Table. Some of you may know this comic. It originally started as a one-strip comic in Shadis or Shadis magazine. I don't even know how to pronounce that. S-H-A-D-I-S. It grew in popularity and became a full-page comic in Dragon magazine, which was TSR/WotC's Wizards of the Coast Dungeons & Dragons magazine. It follows the story of a group of tabletop role players who have called themselves the Knights of the Dinner Table. That's what they call their character's adventuring party. They played a game called Hackmaster. And the comic was written by Jolly Blackburn and later incorporated his wife, Barbara Blackburn, both of who I have met are wonderful people. I can't say enough about them. They're great people. So So this comic grew in popularity to the point where it actually got its own standalone comic book, monthly issue comic book. And I just watched a video today about it where Jolly was talking, and he said they're approaching their 25th year in production between the magazines and the actual comic run. That's great. Now, it's not a serious comic, as you can probably imagine. And if any of you out there are tabletop gamers, you know what the comic's going to be like. We all get crazy and silly and stupid when we sit down at a table. We make bad Monty Python jokes and references. So what the geeky stuff is about is a Kickstarter that D20 Entertainment and Jolly Blackburn are collaborating on. D20 Entertainment is a production company that did Larry Elmore's The Brothers Barbarian web-based series. Larry Elmore, of course, is a huge, huge fantasy artist, and quite frankly, my favorite fantasy artist out there. If you've played any Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition, read any Dragonlance, you know Larry Elmore. He's done the cover for every single one of those books. He is a wonderful artist. I get off topic. So, D20 Entertainment, Jolly Blackburn, they want to make a Knights of the Dinner Table 30-minute long live-action series. There's going to be a link to this Kickstarter in the show notes. When you look at the picture, if you're familiar at all with the Knights, and you see the picture of the cast, it is perfect. It is perfect. Oh, man, it is... it's awesome. It's really awesome. Go check it out. D20 Entertainment is run by a man named Ken Whitman, who Jolly Blackburn has known since 1993. I think they might even game together. Jolly, of course, created Knights of the Dinner Table. And as I said in the comic, they play an RPG called Hackmaster. They've actually created this RPG. This role-playing game. You can go to the store, you can go to the website, you can buy Hackmaster books, you can buy adventures. What Hackmaster is loosely, or not loosely, what Hackmaster is first edition Dungeons & Dragons with practically every little home rule, gamers, you know what I'm talking about, every little home rule thrown into it. There are tons, it's a tongue-in-cheek RPG. Of course it's serious. You blast orcs, you collect the dough, you send your torchbearer out to trigger the traps. But it's very tongue-in-cheek, and I love it. I can't recommend this enough. Today, I checked the Kickstarter a little bit before the show. They have 57 days still left on the Kickstarter. They're asking for $60,000. They're already at $11,600. I think this is going to happen. I can't wait for this. So Ken Whitman runs D20. He's a gamer. He knows the genre. He's a huge fan of KODT, Knights of the Dinner Table. And Jolly Blackburn gets to retain creative control of the series. He gets to stay in control. He gets to write the script. He gets to say, no, BA wouldn't let them get away with that. No, that's maybe, you know, Brian, he wouldn't be that soft and easy on that person. He gets to dictate what happens with the show. One of the cool little stretch goals, if you're familiar with Kickstarter, they always have stretch goals, certain increments past the initial goal of money they want. So if 60,000 is met, the 30-minute web show will be filmed. If they make it all the way to $310,000, they will film a 96-minute movie on top of the 30-minute web show. That is really cool. That is really cool. I can't wait to see this. I can't wait for it to happen. Some of the other stretch goals, and you can check it out on the site. We'll include a link in the show notes. Some of the other stretch goals are MP3s of the cast members' characters saying their classic catchphrases. You know, Dave's, I want a big-ass sword, and Brian's, fireball coming online. They said you'll be able to use those for whatever you use MP3s for, ringtones, whatever. PDF copies of the scripts will be available. And let's see here. I can't remember the exact amount of the particular stretch goal, but in the show, of course, they're going to be playing an adventure in Hackmaster. If there's a certain stretch goal met, backers who contribute at least $25 will be given a Jolly Blackburn written copy of that module to run for yourself at home in your Hackmaster campaign. In the show notes, I'm including a link to Kinzerco. Kinzer Company is the company that produces the KODT comic and the Hackmaster RPG materials. You can actually download Hackmaster Basic, the PDF, for free. It's, I believe, a 296-page PDF. It's essentially the core campaign setting guide. Go check it out if you're looking for something a little different than your 4th edition D&D and you want to try some old school. Go check this out and support the Kickstarter. Like I said, these are great people. I've actually met them here in Houston at our Comic Palooza. I got I got my Fame Rub signatures in my in my player's handbook. I got copies of the original Knights drawn right there as I watched by Jolly. I can't recommend this enough. Check it out. That'll about wrap up our show tonight, guys. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for tuning in to the Great All Show, monotonous and boring as I'm sure it was. But Jason will be with us next week. You know, the Nightwing to my Batman will be the dynamic duo once again. You can find me on PlayStation, Steam, and Raptor under Teletech 77062, Teletech 77062. Shoot me a friend invite. If your guild, corporation, kinship, or whatever your game calls it is looking for more members, shoot me an email, and Blacklace will have that information at the end of the show, as well as a Twitter. Let us know your guild's name. We'll post it for you. If you would like to join Holosuite Media in-game in the Secret World, you can look for Beyond the Veil in-game. If you'd like to join us in Star Trek Online, we have a Federation and a Klingon guild. That's Tribbles in XTC or Targs in XTC. You can join Jason and myself in SWTOR on the Shadowlands server under Knights of Holosuite. That is a Republic guild. Let's see, we also have our sister podcast here at holosuitemedia.com. That's the Beyond the Veil, dealing with the Secret World, Tribbles in Ecstasy, dealing with Star Trek Online, and Blacklace, who is our announcer and our finisher. She and her husband run A Worthy Opponent, detailing World of Warcraft's Hearthstone electronic CCG, I guess, for lack of a better word. Check those out. We hope to see you guys in game. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.